Welcome to the Peckway Church Podcast. We're glad you're here. At Peckway, our mission is to transform lives by connecting people with God and with each other. It's our hope that this message will give you hope and encourage you to take the next step in your journey with Christ. For more information about our services and weekly ministries, visit us at peckwaychurch.com.
See you. Would you stand as we begin worship today? It's great to see you here. Let's shout our praises to the Lord today. He is our God.
Our rock, the only solid ground. The nations rise and fall. Kingdoms once strong, now shaken. We trust forever in your name, the name of Jesus. We trust the name. You are the only King forever, Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, Almighty God, you are victorious. You are the only King forever, Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore, you are victorious.
Unmatched in all his wisdom. Thank him for that today.
Unmatched in all your wisdom, in love and justice you will reign, and every knee will bow. We bring our expectations, our hope is anchored in your name. The name of Jesus. Oh, we trust the name of Jesus. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever. Almighty Lord, you are victorious. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious.
We're going to lift the high, the banner of Jesus' name in this place. Sing it with us. Here we go.
We lift.
Go ahead and have a seat. Once again, thank you so much for being here today and worshiping with us here at Pequay Church. Thank you for those who are viewing online today as well. My name is Scott Munson. I'm the worship pastor here. And thank you for singing out those praises here in this place this morning. Those here in person, I'm going to invite you to look inside of your bulletin. You're going to find this gray connection card. Online, you're going to find a connect link in the chat window. We simply ask that you take just a few moments anytime during today's service to fill that out if you're a regular attender. I know you do this each week, so simply just write your first and last name on the card, and then you can drop that in the gray box in the back of the room on your way out this morning. And those of you who fill out the complete card, do that same thing for me as well. On the back of that card, there's some boxes there in case you're interested in what's going on here at Pequay Church. We have some things for that. But more importantly, at the end of our service today, you'll use this card to make a decision. Hopefully, God will stir our hearts and that we're going to do that. And then there's also a box there for prayer requests and comments as well. So take a moment, do that anytime during today's service. And online, you have that same opportunity as well through that chat link or the link in your chat window today. Also, if you're a first-time guest, you can simply take out, and I say it simply a whole lot today, so no more simply. Just take out that cell phone and you can text the word hello to 717-872-5679. You see it there on your screens. And again, that word is hello to 717-872-5679. You'll get a quick text reply to that, and then that gets us connected via chat. And so I'd love to reach out to you and say thank you for being a part of today's service. And so that's one way that you can do that as well. We are continuing our sermon series. You see there on the front of your bulletin, What's Your Legacy? And we've had some great messages as part of this sermon series. And today's is also going to be one of those great messages. And so one of my favorite Bible stories talking about the blessing between Jacob and Esau and how that went. And so Pastor Jerry is going to break that down for us a little bit later in today's service. And we're going to see what it looks like to receive a blessing. And so I'm not going to give any more away than that. So have those notes ready there in your bulletin, and they'll also be online as well for those of you who are viewing. Well, I'm going to invite you to stand once again as we continue our worship. And we've been singing this song this whole month, talking about the many names that we know God by. Maybe he's your healer, he's your provider, your hopefully your salvation, but that firm foundation that we just talked about, that solid rock for us. So let's continue that today as we know him by 1,000 names and can know him in 1,000,000 more ways.
Spark, I call you healer. You can mend any broken heart. I call you faithful Father. You finish everything you start. My soul was made to respond. I know you by 1,000 names, and you deserve it. Single one, and giving me 1,000,000 ways to be amazed at what you've done, and I am lost in wonder at all you do. I know you by 1,000 names, and I'll sing them back to you. Yeah. Sing them back, sing them back to you. Your love is boundless, beyond what I could dream. Your grace is patient, you never giving up on me. I call you bondage breaker, 'cause you're handing out the prison keys. My soul was made to be free. I know you by 1,000 names, and you deserve every single one. You've given me 1,000,000 to be amazed at what you've done, and I am lost in wonder at all you do. I know you by a thousand names. When I'll sing them back, I'll sing them back to you. King forever, the beginning and the end. You are Lord and servant, you're the Son of Man. You're the Lion of Judah, you're the risen Lamb. You're the second Adam, here to lead us home. Are Yahweh's glory now revealed in flesh and bone? You are ocean parter, you will make a way. You are death defeater, you have risen from the grave. You are full of mercy, you are rich in to be amazed at what you've done, and I am lost in wonder at all you do. I know you by a thousand names, and I'll sing them back, I'll sing them back to you.
What name do you know him by today? What name do you need to know him by today? As we continue worshiping him, would you just lean into him as you think about that?
As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. And your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your let the nation sing it loud, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. Jesus, in your name we pray. Strength to live for you and glorify your name. And your name is a strong and mighty. Sing it loud, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name, your name. Jesus, your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it loud, 'cause nothing has the power to save.
Bow with me as we pray this morning. God, we thank you for the power that there is in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in hearts and lives as we come once again to this moment. Lord, how you are healing the broken places, how you are encouraging hearts with joy, maybe in places where that we are blessing our children, where we are being that example that you've called us to be as men and women of faith. And so today, as we come once again, Lord, looking into your word, Father, what does it mean to do that, to bless our children, to, Lord, build them up through your word and through faith? And so, Lord, now as we turn to you in this moment of looking in your word, God, as our hearts have been maybe filled with gladness as we've sang these songs, or we've been reminded, Lord, of God, where we're falling short. Lord, may this moment be a turning point for us, a change, a place of change for us today. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Thanks, Scott. Thank you, worship team. And as you settle in, I just want to say, along with Scott, good morning, not only to those of you here in the building, but those worshiping with us online. And Scott's absolutely right, and I was thinking about this morning. I mean, we've been in this series for quite some time, and it isn't because I have no other sermon ideas. Let me put that to rest. But it literally is, folks, because this is such an important topic. So many of us carry pain and hurt, both intentionally and unintentionally, from our families of origin. And so today, if you've looked at the message notes already, and I suspect you have, today we're going to tackle that very interesting, maybe challenging, maybe even uncomfortable topic of counteracting generational curses. And I just want to say this before I get into the message, that if that word's uncomfortable for you, that word curses, and I know it comes with a lot of baggage, I hope to maybe disabuse you of that, but it really is just an Old Testament biblical term for what we would call today dysfunction, brokenness. And I'm going to explain to you in a few moments what that term literally means, really like Old Testament language, the image behind that, But how I want to get into the message this morning is this way. I want to pose what I hope is a profound and personal question. I know it's personal. I hope it'll be profound for you. Here's the question I want to ask, and I'll just illustrate it, maybe tease it out a little bit. But have you or are you ever haunted by some version of the question why when it comes to your life and your relationships? Are you ever haunted by the question why? For example, do you ever struggle? Do you ever have this deep sense of loneliness that keeps gnawing at you even after your greatest accomplishments and some of your happiest days? Even in light of that, you still have this gnawing sense of loneliness and insignificance. Or do you ever struggle with the question why when it comes to the fact that you have doubts? Was I ever really loved? Was I ever really cared about growing up? Even though, and you say that and you think that, you maybe never verbalize it, but you say that and then you realize, yet growing up, you never lacked anything materially. And yet you still struggle and ask yourself in doubt, was I really loved? Was I really cared about? Or here's the last one. Have you ever find yourself trying, hard as you may, to develop and form and find close, caring relationships? But it seems no matter how hard you try, no matter how much you invest, they always seem to be just out of reach. Do you ever find yourself being haunted by some version of the question why when it comes to your life and your relationships? If so, there's a high possibility and probability it's because of this issue we're calling the generational curse. Which is why we are in this series, because the reality is, folks, we're all haunted to one degree or another, at one time or another, by the question why. And here's why. Because all of us long to be accepted. All of us longed to be loved. And so it doesn't matter how often we say to others, to ourselves, I don't care what anyone else thinks. I don't care what anyone else believes or feels about me. The truth is, folks, in our heart of hearts, in our most honest moments, there is a yearning within all of us for acceptance and for affirmation, regardless of what we might say. And that yearning is especially strong and especially deep when it comes to our parents, our mothers and fathers, which is why gaining or missing out on their blessing in our life marks us in amazing ways and has incredible impact on our present and our future. The reality is, folks, this issue that God's talking about in the second of the Ten Commandments about the sins of the fathers and the mothers visiting the second and third generation is real, and it's powerful. And many of us, without knowing it, have been living it out all of our lives. And that's why we're in the series of looking at how to break that curse, how to break that cycle of generational dysfunction and pain. And again, as I've already alluded, that's why God said that. We visited this verse almost every part, every message in the series, but I want to go to it again. Exodus 34:7, God said this in the second of the Ten Commandments, I lay the sins of the parents upon their children and grandchildren. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generation. And again, if you've been here through the series, you know by now that what I am communicating there, what I believe God is communicating there, and I'm trying to communicate to you, is that we as parents mark our children for good or for ill. And when it's for ill, folks, it can wound us, cripple us, and often can leave gaping holes in our life that we spend our entire life trying to fill. But last week we turned a corner, if you remember, if you were here, if you were part of this. If not, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to last week's message. But last week we turned a corner away from the work that we need to do of forgiving and forgetting the hurt and the pain and maybe even the dysfunction that was inflicted upon us and we experienced from our family of origin. And we took a step in the positive direction last week by talking about the things that we need to do, the steps we need to take to break the cycle, to find ourselves set free and charting a new course. So if you're here last week, I really broke it down into three steps, the first three of five steps I told you. And the first step was learning and deciding to leave our family of origin. And we talked about that. I'm not going to rehash that. If you need that clarified, and again, I encourage you to go listen to last week's message. But then we talked in the second step, the stack that we needed to take personal responsibility for our lives. regardless of how we may or may not have been raised, the good things and the bad things, that we took responsibility for our life, that there is this expiration date on being able to blame our parents for our lives as adults. And finally, then, we said that the third step in this process of breaking free from that dysfunction, breaking free from that generational pattern of dysfunction and brokenness and cursing, if you will, was to create a new future by creating a new family. And we do that, I shared with you last week, based on God's word, by becoming the father or mother that we always long for, we always hope for, we always yearn for when we were growing up. So that was the first three steps. And that brings us today to the fourth step on this path of counteracting the curse, counteracting the pain that we receive from our family of origin. And I'm going to tell you right up front before I tell you the step, that at its very heart, at the very heart of this fourth step, is the contrast we find in God's word between blessing and cursing. That forms the foundation. In fact, based on that contrast, I'm really going to give you the four steps. So let me just get into it. Let me explain to you from the biblical, from the Old Testament understanding of the difference between blessing and cursing. They are truly, biblically, absolute opposites of one another. And let's begin with the word to bless. The Hebrew word to bless in the Bible is the image, and it is an image. It's a picture. The Hebrew language is a picture language. And the image is to bow the knee, to bow the knee. And I think we all envision that. We've all watched enough, you know, fairy tales of kings and queens and servants. And the reality is, in that day, in the Old Testament culture, to bow the knee literally communicated to the person you were bowing before that you honored them. And just as importantly, you valued them. You saw them as a person of great worth. And so here's what we need to understand. To bless, in the Old Testament context, in that image, means that we choose as individuals to treat another person like they are, and in fact, they are, of incredible worth to us. That's what it means to bless. The first part, and there's another part I'm going to talk to you about, but the first part of that means that, folks, you and I choose, intentionally choose, to treat another person with incredible value and worth. We recognize their incredible worth. But as I said, there's a second part to that. That's not the only meaning in the Old Testament to bless. There's a second word image, and the second word image is this. It's the idea of adding value or worth. Adding value, worth, or even more significant, weight. And again, this word picture comes from commerce. It comes from the monetary system of that day, because unlike our monetary system today, I know a quarter is a quarter because I flip it over and it says $0.25 on it. And I know a dime is worth 10 cents because I flip it over and it says 10 cents on it. And I know a penny is worth a penny because I flip it over and it says 1 cent on it. That was not how money worked in that day. The way you discovered or determined the value of a coin was not reading an inscription on it. You determined the value of a coin in that day in the Old Testament culture by literally putting it on a scale. And it was real simple. The heavier the coin, the greater the value. So that was the image. So when you put those two images together, that of bowing the knee and that of adding weight or worth, what we're really saying when we say biblically, when we talk about blessing someone, we're communicating to that person, we're saying to that person, you are so much of great worth to me that I intentionally want to add value to your life. That's what it means to bless. It doesn't mean, hey, just have a good day. That's not a blessing. The biblical idea of blessing, folks, is I evaluate and I consider you of such great worth in my life that I want to add value to your life. Does that make sense? That's the image of blessing. Now, contrast that with the idea of cursing. And the image behind the Old Testament idea of cursing, it's very picturesque. It's a trickle or a muddy stream caused by a dam or obstruction. A trickle or a muddy stream or river or water caused by a dam or obstruction. And you go, what's that all about? Well, think about it. Let's get the historical context. The Old Testament people lived in a desert land. And so for you and I, or for somebody to muddy up the water or cut off the water, equal to them cutting off life itself. It was a very important element. It was crucial to their life. And so when someone talked about cursing, when we curse someone, what we're really saying is we are choosing, again, a conscious choice on our part, to dam up the stream of life-giving, life-sustaining words and actions that flow into their life from us. In other words, I'm just going to let you die. I'm not going to add value. I'm not going to pour in, you know, good things. I'm not going to add weight. I'm not going to consider you of worth. And so, folks, in light of that contrast, in light of the contrast that many of us have experienced generational cursing, that is, the blessing, the good things, the positive words and actions have not been flowing into our life. They have been blocked. They have been, the waters of our life have been muddied. In light of that, the way we counteract that is with a biblical blessing. We speak blessing into the lives of our children. And to help us see that, and Scott's already alluded to it, to help us see that, we're going to go back to the patriarch, you know, Jacob that we looked at 2 weeks ago. But this time, instead of focusing on his life and his children, we're going to go back to his father and his older brother. And I want you to see, and even if you know something of Jacob's story, you're going to see the generational dysfunction. We're going a generation back and looking at his father and what happened in his home. And you're going to see some things reflected that you saw 2 weeks ago, that we talked about 2 weeks ago. But before we do that, before we go and look at that, and his father's name was Isaac and his brother was Esau, but what we need to understand before we look at the story is that in that day, a father's blessing of his eldest son was a significant event, not just an important event, it was a significant, crucial event in the life of the family, particularly for that firstborn. And again, as I said, now let's get the characters straight, let's get their names straight. In this story, Isaac is the father, and Esau is the eldest son, the firstborn. And before we get into the story, I want to just share with you, because two men I greatly respect, one of them is now gone, but two Christian counselors, in their own life experience, and I won't read, you know, I won't give you the cliff notes or the short notes on the book, but in their book, The Blessing, these two psychologists and Christian counselors identified five elements that they see not only in this blessing, but every blessing, Old Testament blessing of a father and a son. And I want to share them with you, not only so you understand this story and the dynamics of what's going on, but I share them with you most importantly, and why these men wrote the book, is because these are the five same things, five same elements that we need to incorporate in the blessing of our children and of our spouse and of our grandchildren. So let me just share them with you and write them down, hold on to them, because I want you to have them for reference after we're done today. But the first thing they noticed in every blessing from a father to a son was appropriate, meaningful touch. Appropriate, meaningful touch. And both those words are, all those words are important. It was appropriate and it was meaningful. It meant something to the boy. And more often than not in the Old Testament, that was often a kiss or the laying on of hands. And many of us have heard that expression, have no idea where it's from. That's where it's from. They laid their hands on them. Today, we might put an arm around a shoulder. We might give a hug. We might, you know, for our son or a daughter, we might give them a kiss on the cheek or on the forehead. The reality is, it's meaningful, appropriate touch. The second element they identify, both then and now, is the speaking of words of encouragement, love, and acceptance. And the speaking was essential. Now, that doesn't mean then or now, and really today, that doesn't mean that we can't write them out. But even if we write them out, there's power in the spoken word. God created the universe by speaking it into existence. There is power in a speaking the blessing. The third thing they notice, and I want to share with you both then and now, is in that blessing, always, the person giving a blessing attached high value to the person being blessed. Attached high value. They communicated back to that idea of blessing, tremendous worth and value to the person. The person being blessed went away feeling incredibly valued by the person doing the blessing. The fourth element in the blessing is the person doing the blessing pictured a special future for the person being blessed. We're going to see in this story how Isaac did that for Jacob, thinking he was Esau. The reality is, though, we talk and picture, we communicate a special future for the person, that God has a plan for them. And then finally, and this one's crucial, and this one is often missed, the person doing the blessing pledged themselves to ensuring that special future, to help it come to pass. In other words, the person doing the blessing stayed engaged. It wasn't this drive-by blessing that I go, you know, have a nice day, I think you're a wonderful person, you're going to do good, and then they detached. No, the person was committing themselves, particularly in these cases, the father was committing himself to do whatever he could to bring that future to pass. So that is the five elements of a blessing. Now I want us to turn to the scene. And in this scene, you need to recognize, I've already kind of set it up, but let me just kind of clarify it again. In this scene, what we're seeing is the time has come for Isaac to bless his eldest son, Esau. And the backstory of that is, having announced that to his son, he said, go out and get some wild game. In other words, dad told him to do what I love with my dad, go hunting. And he went out hunting and he got some meat. He was successful. The problem is, the backstory is, that while dad was giving that direction, dad's sight had dimmed. He had lost his eyesight. But mom was in the next room and she overheard the conversation. And mom loved her younger son more than her elder son. And so in that moment, mom devised a plan to cheat the older son, who Isaac loved more. Does that sound familiar to what Jacob went through? So dad loved Esau more, mom loved Jacob more, and so she devised a plan to deceive dad and get Jacob blessed instead of Esau. And so I won't go through the plan, but it was a clever plan, but it was a deceitful plan, obviously. And Esau was none the wiser until he was successful in hunt, came home, prepared the meal, his dad's favorite dishes, dad had directed him to, and he carried the meal into his father. And it was only then, as he brought the meal into his father, that Esau discovered that what his brother had done. He was not aware of mom's part in it, but he discovered in that moment that his younger brother had deceived his father into blessing him rather than Esau. And here's the significance of this. It was significant that Jacob saw Esau's blessing and deceived his father to get it, because here's the thing we need to understand. In that day, the blessing was irrevocable. In other words, once it was given, it couldn't take back. And we need to understand that, or we're not going to understand Esau's reaction to this and why all that took place and his own father's reaction to this. But we need to understand, once that blessing was given, it couldn't be retracted. It couldn't be qualified. It was a done deal. And so with that said, let's go to the text and let's begin reading in Genesis chapter 27, beginning with verse 30. Here's what it says, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, the younger son, and almost before Jacob had left his father, Esau returned from his hunt. Esau prepared a delicious meal and brought it to his father. Then he said, sit up, my father, and eat my wild game so that you can give me your blessing. But Isaac asked him, who are you? Esau replied, it's your son, your firstborn Esau. Isaac began to tremble uncontrollably and said, then who just served me the wild game? I've already eaten it, and I have blessed him just before you came. And yes, that blessing must stand. When Esau heard his father's words, he let out a loud and bitter cry. Oh, my father, what about me? Bless me too, he begged. But Isaac said, your brother was here, and he tricked me. He has taken away your blessing. I have made Jacob your master and have declared that all his brothers will be his servants. You see the special preferred future? I have guaranteed him an abundance of grain and wine. What is left for me to give you, my son? And Esau pleaded, but you only have one blessing. Oh, my father, bless me too. And then this strong outdoors man, it says, then Esau broke down and wept. And folks, those last words, oh my father, bless me too, are haunting for many of us. And the reason why is because we can identify with the pain that Esau felt, because like Esau, we haven't received our father or mother's or parents or grandparents' blessing. And the reality is, folks, we need to understand, while it is true that the blessing of the firstborn was unique to Old Testament culture and Old Testament times, what we need to understand is that longing that Esau expressed, the longing that some of us feel with that haunting of why is a longing, because deep inside all of us, there is this desire, this need, this longing for our parents to affirm us, our parents to bless us, which is why it's absolutely critical in your life and mine as parents and grandparents to not only understand the importance and the mechanics of the blessing, folks, but then to begin to practice it, to continually, regularly bless our children and our grandchildren. And so I hope you're asking in light of that. I hope I made a convincing enough argument, and you've heard enough pain from me, so I'm maybe connected deeply enough with it. You go, okay, I get it, but how do we do that? And again, I want to take you back to John Trent and Gary Smalley, because in their book, and as I share with you, they made it very clear, they grounded that whole blessing in our kids hearing words of encouragement, acceptance, and affirmation. Words of encouragement, acceptance, and affirmation. In light of that, I just want to offer you a model of a blessing. And it really is a great model, and I can say that with confidence because the model is God Himself. And the recipient is none other than Jesus, God's Son, Himself. And what I find significant is the fact that God not only spoke these words once, but He spoke these exact same words twice over Jesus. The first time was at the start of His ministry, at His baptism, and the second was really at the end of His ministry, at His transfiguration, that time when Jesus revealed to three of His closest friends who He truly was, and truly the Son of God. But in both moments, what's interesting to me, God spoke the exact same words. He offered the exact same message to Jesus. And I want to read it to you. In Matthew 17, verse 5, this is what God says. This is what's recorded for us. "This is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. Listen to Him." And what I want to do is I want to tease out for you what I see in that text is God giving Jesus three very specific blessings. And again, I want to share them with you because I believe we need to give these same blessings to our children. The first blessing God the Father gave Jesus the Son was His blessing of acceptance. His acceptance, where He said, "This is my Son, whom I love." The second blessing the Father offered was the blessing of His complete pleasure. It wasn't qualified. God expressed complete love and pleasure in Jesus, for He said, "With Him I am well pleased, fully pleased, completely pleased." There wasn't yes, but. And finally, God the Father offered God the Son the blessing of His belief in His competency. For He said, "Listen to Him. Listen to Him." So let me just kind of put it in modern-day language, and I know, let me paraphrase it, maybe is a better way to put it, but I think this is what God was saying in essence. "This is my boy, and I am beyond proud of who he is and what he is capable of accomplishing." Do you hear the blessing in that? "This is my boy." Dad wasn't embarrassed to own his son. "And I am incredibly proud of who he is and what is capable of accomplishing." And moms and dads, grandpas and grandmas, I'm going to say it again, folks. We desperately need to speak those kinds of words of blessing over our children and our grandchildren. Those same three affirmations. And just, folks, it needs to not be just once and not just twice, you know, when they're born and when they graduate. It needs to be frequently and continually. And I say that because if we fail to regularly affirm our acceptance of them, their value to us, and our confidence, the difference that God can make and they can make through the unique gifts and abilities and personality that God has given them in life, I promise you, as parents and grandparents, we will miss the deepest cry of their hearts. Because the reality is we fail to speak into their lives and onto their lives words that will shape how they value and how they view themselves. And yes, our words have that kind of power. And the Apostle Paul understood that, and that's why when he was speaking to a group of men and women who he functioned and operated and truly treated as his spiritual children, he had this to say to them. He said, "With each of you, we were like a father with his child, holding your hand, whispering encouragement, showing you step by step how to live well before God. And folks, my question to you is that, who in the world wouldn't want a parent like that? Who in the world wouldn't want a parent to treat them like that? A parent who would treat them with acceptance and protection and encouragement and guidance. Who wouldn't want a parent like that? Because the reality is that kind of affirming, encouraging, protecting, and guiding parenting cannot help but set you and I up for emotional, relational, personal, and even spiritual success in life. It can't help but set us up for success. And I want to share with you one story of just that thing that illustrates that point. And it's about a teenage boy who was born and lived with a large birthmark that covered much of his face. And it was a kind of birthmark, and again, I just want you to appreciate it. It was a kind of birthmark that, quite honestly, folks, for most of us, would have emotionally shattered us. Because of the, you know, and I know, the kind of comments that other kids would have made on the playgrounds. The kind of comments that other teenagers would have made at lunch. And yet, the reality was, it didn't seem to faze him at all. He grew up with an incredible, secure self-image. And not the least bit self-conscious about what everyone obviously saw. And because of that, one day, one of his friends said to him, "You amaze me." He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "It's like your birthmark isn't even an issue for you." He says, "What's up with that? I don't get it. I mean, it's something that probably would have crippled most of us, including myself. What's up with you? How is that possible?" And the boy began to tell a story. He said, "Well, I think it's because of this. When I was very, very young, when I was just a little boy, as long as I can remember, my father told me that the birthmark, this birthmark, was there for two reasons." And he said, "My father told me the first reason it was there is because it's where an angel kissed me. And he said, the second reason my dad said it was there is because the angel kissed me there so that he could always find me easily in a crowd." And he said, "My dad told me that story so frequently and with so much love that I actually began to feel sorry for kids who weren't kissed by an angel." Moms and dads, that's the power of our blessing, our affirmation, and our acceptance on children. And as I said last week, when we bless our children like that as parents and grandparents, God's blessing flows back toward us. That's just how it works. And I say that for this reason. I said it last week, I want to say it again. So what that really means is this. Let me apply it. If you weren't blessed as a child by your parents, your grandparents, don't let it destroy you. Don't let it break you. Don't let it embitter you. Instead, focus on blessing your children. Focus on blessing your children and then watch what God does related to your wounds and scars. What God does in terms of healing your hits and your hurts. Because the reality is, the more you and I focus on blessing others, specifically our children and our family, and children in general, the more God blesses us. It's just how it works. Some of you may recognize the name Henry Nouwen. Many of you, perhaps, recognize the name Henry Nouwen. And he was an incredible writer, teacher, lecturer on the things of God. Incredible man, incredible scholar. He taught at Princeton, he taught at Yale, but later in life, he took a professional turn. He went to pastor a community of special needs adults called the Larch Community, in Toronto. And he tells a story one time that before a prayer service, one of the house members, a lady by the name of Janet, came to him and said, "Henry, can you give me a blessing?" And again, he really didn't know what she meant, and he really didn't know what she means. So almost out of rote, I mean, he was a Catholic priest, he just simply traced the sign of the cross on her forehead with his thumb. But he said, she said to me, "That doesn't work. That's not what I want. I want a real blessing." Henry, being a humble, godly man, he said, I'm so sorry. Let me give you a real blessing tonight after the prayer service. And he confessed, he said, part of it is I was just buying time. I didn't really know what I wanted to do or needed to do. He said, I needed to think about it. I needed to pray about it. But Janet seemed happy with that because she smiled at Henry and nodded, and off she went. Well, that evening after the prayer service, where a group of about 30 members of that community had gathered together and were sitting in a circle, after he finished, Henry said, Janet has asked me for a special blessing. She feels she needs that right now. And he confessed, still not knowing what Janet wanted or exactly what he was going to say or do, he said, I found myself immediately when I said that. Janet got up, she came to me, she stood in front of me, then she put her arms around me and leaned her head on my chest. And he said, instinctively, I just wrapped my arms around her. And because he was wearing, as you can see there, something like that night, I believe, a clerical robe with flowing arms, as he wrapped her in her arms, she seemed to almost disappear. And then he said, I laid my head on her head, and I thought to say this, Janet, I want you to know, you're God's beloved daughter. You're precious in his sight. Your beautiful smile, your kindness toward the other members of this community, and all the good that you do shows us what a beautiful human being you are. And I know you feel a little low right now, and there's some sadness in your heart. But I want you to remember whose you are and who you are. You're a special person, deeply loved by God and by every single person in this room. And Henry said, when I finished that, Janet raised her head, looked up into my eyes, and I could tell from her broad smile that she had received her blessing. And so he said, Janet went back to her place in the circle and took her seat, but no sooner she did that than another woman of the group, a woman by the name of Jane, raised her hand. And she said, I want a blessing too. So she got up, and as before, she came to Henry, stood before him, wrapped her arms around him, and placed her head on his chest. And once again, Henry said, I wrapped my arms around her, and I spoke words of blessing into her life and onto her life. And he said, when that was done, and he looked up, every hand in the group shot up, all indicating they wanted to be blessed in the same way. But the most powerful thing for Henry, and it is for me as a ministry student, he said the most touching thing of that whole evening was when one of my assistants, a 24-year-old seminary student, raised his hand and then walked to me, wrapped his arms around me, laid his head on my chest, and asked me to bless him too. And folks, I share that because if we're honest, if we were there, I suspect every one of us would have done the same thing. Because that's how deep our longing and need to be blessed is. It is a reality of who we are, made in the image of God. So moms and dads, I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. If I could, I would beg you, and I am begging you. Please, please bless your children. Because by doing that, not only will they be blessed, but you'll be blessed too. But even beyond that, the reality is in doing that, in practicing the blessing, you will be breaking the cycle, the generational cycle of dysfunction and curses that has, quite honestly, for some of us, been backing up the flow and the stream of life and love and release in our life, in our spouse's life, in our children's life. But I recognize to be able to do that, first and foremost, before anything else, we need to know ourselves and believe that we're blessed. And so here's how I want to end this morning. I want to take a cue from Henry, and I want to speak a blessing over all of us and any of us who don't know for sure that we've ever received our parents' blessing. Or we know it, but the reality is, if we were honest with ourselves, and maybe we are with our spouse or a close friend, we would admit that I think I was blessed, but I'm still struggling to believe it. I'm still struggling to live into it. And the last thing I'm going to say before we do that and bow our heads is I want you to understand that the words I'm going to speak over you, the blessing I'm going to offer you, are all from God's word. Which means they're truth that your Heavenly Father Himself declares about you. And so I want to invite all of us, believer or unbeliever, if you're here this morning watching online, I just want to encourage you to bow your heads and receive your Heavenly Father's blessing this morning. And as we do that with no one looking around, eyes, heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to say to you, again, one of the keys to this whole blessing is appropriate, meaningful touch. And so if it's appropriate, and if you believe and know that it'd be meaningful, and you're sitting beside family or friends, then I want to encourage you, just take a hand, lay a hand on a shoulder. And then I want you to receive this blessing from the Father. You are chosen. You are wanted. You are loved. I have called you by name, and you are mine, my son, my daughter, my beloved child. There's nothing you have done or ever can do that will cause me to walk away from you. I will never leave you. I have created you for a great purpose, on purpose. And I have great plans for your good, not for your harm. Plans for a special future. Every place that is broken, I will redeem and store. Every place that's rough, I will make smooth. Every place there's doubt, fear, or confusion, I will replace with courage, peace, and wisdom in the name of my Son, Jesus. You are not alone. I choose you. This church family chooses you. You have our blessing. You are blessed. I created you to bless. And right now you can choose to use the uniquenesses and the strengths I have given you to bless others. I have started a good work in you. And I pledge to bring it to completion. Heavenly Father, thank you for what we've been learning through this series, and for all the ways your word has challenged us to forgive, to forget, and then to move forward. And now that we've received, many of us, your blessing on our lives, my prayer today, and I know the prayer of many of us here today, is that you will help us grow in our sensitivity to and the practice of blessing our children. For that blessing is the opposite of the curse. And it's the antidote to the sins of our family of origin. So help us to commit ourselves to blessing our families. And we prayed in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Well, I just want to talk to you very, very quickly. I don't want to have a sermon after the sermon, but I just want to talk to you very quickly about two ways that you and I can live out this morning's message. What do we do with it? How do we live out? And the first is I want to say to you is for you and I to be a blessing. But more importantly before that is for you and I to be blessed. Because as I said, we can't be people who bless until we first feel and understand that we are blessed by God. So I know for some of you that prayer, God has used it in a meaningful and powerful way. And kind of after it, you're good to go. But others are going, the pain goes so deep, the brokenness goes so far that you say, I need more help. And I want to give you a website to go to. It's a website of John Trent, and it's simply entitled theblessing.com. And on that website, you're going to find all kinds of resources and courses. It's going to help you. It's going to give you a document that's even there on the website. It's a wonderful website. It'll even help you go, was I blessed or not? It's also going to give you resources on how you can go about blessing your children. It's also going to give you the opportunity to take courses, to go deeper, to untangle some of this in your life. For some of us, it's very tangled. And even the opportunity to come to some online groups. And I just say there that for you, if you're still there and you're still struggling with the blessing, still struggling with what we talked about last week, please email me this week and just ask for that list of counselors so you can get connected with someone who can help you begin to untangle some of the brokenness and hurt in your life. The second, and where I'm going to spend most of the time, and I promise it'll only be a minute and a half, folks, is to challenge you to be a blessing. Yes, it begins in your home. Yes, it's to begin in my home, but it's not to stop there. The whole blessing to the patriarchs over and over again, the blessing to you and I, is we are blessed in order to be a blessing to the world. In other words, folks, we need to be using our lives and our power and our voice and our influence to be blessing folks. And I'm going to tell you a great way, a necessary way, that you can do that. The reality is, on a Wednesday night, we have half the children who show up on a Wednesday night in teens are coming from unchurched homes. They're not connected with any church. These kids need the blessing. Many times their parents need the blessing. And Missy and Tina are in need, genuine need of men and women to say, you know what, I can serve, I will serve. And folks, let me just be honest with you, I'm not asking you to serve by to fill a hole in a roster. I'm not asking you to serve to fill a gap in a schedule. I am asking you to serve to fill a hole in a life, to speak blessing on these kids. And I know some of us are going, and I get it. I was reminded of this 2 weeks ago with my kids. I understand some of us say, well, I don't have the energy I used to have. I'm living proof of that song from Toby Keith, I'm as once good as I always was. I can do what I used to do in 20 for about 5 minutes. But can I remind you, when I have to remind myself of what I have that I didn't have in my 20s, patience, understanding, freedom and discretionary time like I never had as a 20-year-old, and the perspective to understand the difference my life and my words can make. Many of us have that. Many, many in this community need that. And yes, we could sign up for our second or our third small group, and I'm not trying to be cutting, but folks, I want to tell you, the greatest thing you do if you're already in a group is to serve those kids, to serve those parents, as teenagers and young adults, to be a blessing. And again, I'm not asking you to fill a hole. I would never ask you to be a human cork. I'm asking you to use your life to be a blessing. You are blessed so that you could be a blessing to others. So with that said, I just want to encourage you, if you would be willing for a conversation, that's all I'm asking you to do, is willing for a conversation, how I might be used, how you might be used by Missy in the children's ministry, Tina in the youth ministry. And again, they need consistency. That last commitment in the blessing is a pledge to make it come to pass. And that's just being there, week in, week out, showing up and loving these children, loving these teens, letting them know if it's a bad week, you're going to be there. They have someone who will listen, someone who will care, someone who will pray for them. They have that guarantee coming Wednesday night, and you can do that. And so I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to turn it over to Scott and the worship team, and we're going to close in song.
Would you stand with us, please? Give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken, and great are you. So we pour out our praise, we pour out. So much for being here this morning and worshiping with us. Pray that as you go and out of this place today and into the places you'll be going, that you will be that blessing that we talked about today. Look forward to seeing you again next week. Have a great rest of your day.